All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
They're coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act.
Well, we are live and we are coast to coast. We are nationwide with you tonight, and we are certainly glad that you've come into the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room, where we focus upon taking the deeper esoteric truths of Scripture and bringing out the hidden meanings, some of which you have never heard in your life. And we are thankful tonight that you have come into this room tonight, and I see an assortment of biblicists and theologians and philosophers and teachers and engineers and financiers. There are so many that are in the room on tonight. We have a pretty interesting topic here tonight. I'm looking for a couple of my co-hosts tonight that will help me in this presentation tonight. Kind of an interesting topic subject tonight that is somewhat controversial, but nonetheless very much verifiable within the pages of the Bible and also within the pages of our experiences. So we are going to take a look tonight at God's drug deal, sex for drugs, the seed and the weed, and sex, as according to God, and it's still under our general theme that we've chosen, wealth creation through procreation, as we look at this subject of wealth creation through procreation. And there's a critical and vital role for all of us to play in this. What do you say about it, Abednego L., down there in the land of paradise, sportsman's paradise, Louisiana, in the most prosperous city to start a business in the United States of America, Shreveport, Louisiana. What do you got to say about it?
Fisher, you hear me?
I hear you.
I got teeth full. I can't do no talking.
Oh, man. Boy, it is strange how every Thursday you come up with
man, I had tea for a day, 2 o'clock, man.
Man, you had a two pull at 2 o'clock today, and they won't let you talk. Oh, man, well, listen, you put a nice pack on that and just unplug your ears, and if you feel like saying something, your tooth feels better, your face, come right on in. We're going to talk about this wealth creation through procreation. Wealth creation through procreation. Mr. Brooks, I don't know if you're there. I'm still looking for you in the room. I think this is you right here. Is that you? If that's you, Mr. Brooks, speak up, please. 925, is that you? Mr. Brooks. Okay. Must not be Mr. Brooks. All right. Well, we're going to talk about it. Now, I want to say this. I want to start off by saying this. My energy level is a little bit low. But I want to take this discussion tonight and kind of approach it from an angle whereby we can leave with something that will help us tremendously. 925, I see you. Is that 925? Would you identify yourself, 925, please? Take you off mute. 925. Hold on. 925. Having some difficulties here with my board here tonight. 925. I can't take you off mute. I'm trying to take you off mute, and I cannot for some reason. Let's see here. 925. 925, you're off mute. Would you speak, please?
Deacon Charles Shedd, how you doing, Bishop?
Hey, Charles, how you doing? I thought you were someone else, man. But it's always a pleasure to hear your voice. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice. I'm going to put you back on mute, okay?
Excellent.
All right, let's dig into this because, see, there's something that man is given according to the Bible. And let me start out this way. And again, I'll say don't run from the conversation because you may assume that you are beyond procreation because we're going to get into some areas that you can be productive and in terms of creating wealth through procreation. The very first words given or that fall in the syntactical arrangement of Scripture in order, a chronology, the very first words that fall upon the ears of the created beings that we call man and woman were be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. The very first words that this created man heard were be fruitful and multiply. Now, 419, Chancellor, what do you have to say about that in this discussion? 419, Chancellor, can you hear me? Chancellor, Ohio, your mic is open. Okay. All right. I don't know if I'm being heard or not. Okay. The very first words that man hears or he is that is spoken to him and the very first words that fall upon his ears are be fruitful and multiply. Procreate. And he says, and to replenish the earth. Replenish it. So now, there are forces at work within our present system that are desperately trying to contain a certain population. I'll say that again. There are certain forces at work in our present system that are desperately trying to contain a certain population and to keep them from procreating, reproducing, or multiplying their numbers. And what are those forces that are at work in this current system? They are the religious system. There is the scientific system and the legal system, as well as a social system, which are all at work to contain a certain population, to prohibit these or that particular population from procreating and reproducing and multiplying. Scientifically, many things are being used upon this particular population or group to control and to contain and to minimize their reproductive or procreative abilities. Religiously, it is being used. The legal system is being used. And then, of course, the social system is being used as the culture in which we believe, in which we exist or we are in does not support a value and a belief system to allow this particular population or group of people to procreate at the rate of their capacity and at the rate of their propensity and ability and their capability. Now, legally, things are in place. In China, I just read today where they have a law in China where each family can only have one child. But because of the labor force and the workforce has suffered dramatic losses, China just today, I read today, is increasing that number so that each couple or each family can produce two children or procreate or multiply and have two children per family. My point tonight is that here is a particular injunction given in the very first pages of what we call the Bible, which is the first injunction or first commandment, the first instruction given to the human family. And that instruction is to be fruitful, and it is to multiply and to replenish the earth. Excuse me. So then as we looked at some of the things that exist in our current culture worldwide, not just in America, but as I just pointed out, in China as well, there are certain things that work against this to inhibit and to restrict or try to contain this propensity that is given by the Creator and the Most High. And again, I will say that is a matter of legality. Laws are placed, sometimes overt laws and sometimes covert laws. In the case of some of the laws that exist in America, which are not overtly stated or explicitly stated, but implicitly contained to restrict a certain group from reproduction and from populating. And why? My premise is that we can create wealth through procreation. Now, as I move forward in this discussion to another passage that's taken directly from the Bible, I want to look at something that is told to the patriarch or the father of the faith, Abraham. And this is taken from the 22nd chapter and the 17th verse of Genesis. And listen to it. It says that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Your seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Here again is this theme to another man given an unusual injunction or instruction that he will be involved in the processes of procreating through multiplication, and to the extent that his seed will become as numerous as the stars of heaven. Let's do a little science on that just for a moment. I like science because we're in a Milky Way galaxy, and the Milky Way galaxy, according to the scientists and physicists and those that have the expertise and cosmology, tell us that there are about 100 billion or more stars in the Milky Way galaxy. 100 billion. We have somewhere around 7.5 billion, 8 billion people on the planet. And so this one man is told that his particular seed or his propensity or capacity, his ability, would be as numerous as the stars in heaven, which means that if you look at the stars in heaven and do a count, and we can count them now to the best of our ability. There are 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, and right next door to another galaxy that is visible with the human eye is the Andromeda galaxy, which has some 400 billion stars in it. So 500 billion, let's stay with that number, 500 billion stars. And here is one man who's told that he would have this particular capacity. But yet we see within a culture, we see within our society, we see within our system of world governance, we see strategies, we see forces at work that are trying to contain the ability of procreation and play the role of God by restricting who can procreate and at what rate that procreation should occur and at what rate that procreation should happen and who is qualified and who is disqualified. So then, therefore, subsequently, laws are placed into being that restrict certain groups from reproduction. Other social as well as scientific ideologies are placed, are held at bay to keep these people at bay, to keep them from reproducing at full optimum capacity, such as Planned Parenthood, abortion clinics. We have programs that we don't like to talk about. We don't like to mention them, but the eugenicists program, birth control. We don't like to talk about the legal system and the massive industrial prison complex that removes another portion of our people out of society so that they cannot procreate. We don't like to talk about the medical or scientific industry that is doing certain things that will keep us from procreating. And then yet, here we do not like to talk about the religious, Pastor Prince. We don't like to talk about the religious forces that are at work to keep us, Pastor Prince, from procreating. And there are religious forces, Pastor Prince. There are scientific forces, Pastor Prince. There are legal forces, Pastor Prince, at work to prohibit us from this very first instruction given to us in the Bible. Now, let's kind of compartmentalize it and take it categorically and start with the religious forces that are at work and that I like to isolate for conversation here tonight. I want to talk about what are the religious forces that are at work that are trying to contain our population from procreation and reproduction. Can you think of one, Dr. Prince? Dr. Prince, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. Are you hearing me?
I hear you, sir.
There are so many things that are bogging up the line of reproduction. It's too numerous for me to start on it. You're doing a marvelous job. Just keep on digging in there. Because, you know, you look around, you see all things that object one particular category of people. And we've been led to believe that we're not those people. But all the evidence is shown. You can call a man whatever you want to call him, but if he's really the man, you got to tell it like it is. You have never seen such a flourishing population until you've done some world travel, because everywhere in the world you go, you run into skins that is dark. You can't get around it. I don't care what color you are, but you got to think about it for a little while. And even the people who say that we bring up race all the time, say we're the most racist people in the world, because we're always complaining about things that God allowed to happen to us. But have you ever thought about, you ever told your children what not to do, and they end up doing things that is not so appropriate for them to do? You tell them, say, hey, you represent me. And they keep on doing things in a distant way, and they frown up because they've been dumbed down, trained to think little of themselves. One of the worst things in the world is think that you can't when you know you can. That's enough for me to say at this juncture.
Yes, Doc, I think, let's take it. I found, Pastor, and I need you to help me. I need your guidance. I found some things in the Bible that are just difficult to balance in my mind. And maybe I'm overstretching or overreaching. And I wanted to look at some restrictions that are placed upon us as humanity within the pages of the Bible that seem to contradict themselves, And it's to my mind, it seems to place God in a contradiction. So that God, in one place, is saying one thing, and yet in another place, he's saying something totally, diametrically opposite to what he said in the other place. And I wanted to take a look at this tonight to see if we could bring proper tension and balance and reconciliation between what I seem to see as a glaring contradiction. And this contradiction is in the area of procreation. And so I selected as a theme tonight, God, drug deal for sex. Because I found within the pages of the Bible something that I'd never seen after 40 years of looking at the Bible. After many years and many hours of protracted study in the classroom, studying theology and divinity, I found God right in the throes and right in the vicissitudes of a drug deal for sex. And he did not, in the pages that, unless I read it incorrectly, he did not condemn it, but rather condoned it. And I'm going to go to that passage right now. And I'm going to read this chapter. And it reads, I think it's self-explanatory. And I wanted to put it out. It's in the 30th chapter of Genesis. And it says, starts in chapter 29, but I'm going to start in chapter 30, because chapter 30 is telling all by itself. And I'll begin reading now. And when Rachel saw that she was, she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who has withheld you from the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah." Now listen to this. Go into her. And she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, as a wife. And Jacob went in to her, And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore, call she his name Dan. Now, this is a tribe where we get the name Judge or Dan or Daniel, God judges. The tribe of Dan, which is one of the tribes of the nation of Israel, is born not by the wife, but by the maid of the wife that is given to Jacob to procreate with. And she does so in order that Jacob, that she may have children, because this is her maid, and she's given her maid to her husband. And she says, she calls God to witness. She says, God has judged me, and he's heard my voice. And he has given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. And there's a tribe, as we very well know, in the nation of Israel called Dan. And Rachel said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again. So not only did Jacob go once, Jacob seems to be enjoying himself. He goes back a second time. And so Rachel comes back the second time, his wife, and she says, I've wrestled with my sister, and I prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali, or Naphtali. And then when Leah, his other wife, who is the sister of Rachel, saw that she had left off from bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and she gave her Jacob as a wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, this is the other sister, Rachel's sister, and the other maid, she bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, a troop comes, and she called his name Gad. Now, here is another tribe coming from yet a different woman. Now, we have a fourth woman into the mix, Leah, Rachel, then we have Bilhah, now we got Zilpah. And Zilpah was Leah's maid. She bore Jacob a second son. So he goes back, and this guy has a second son by Zilpah. He had two sons by Bilhah, has already had sons by Leah. And now he's having procreating with three different women, and one woman has not procreated as of yet, and that one woman is Rachel. And so Leah says, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. Name his name Asher. So she had one son. Then Zilpah had another son, and she named him Asher. And Asher becomes a tribe. Gad is a tribe. Naphtali is a tribe. Dan is a tribe. Judah is a tribe. And so now it really gets interesting now, because Reuben, who was the son of Leah, in the days of wheat harvest, found mandrakes in the field, and he brought them to his mother Leah, and Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray you, of your mandrakes. Now, what are mandrakes in the Bible? Mandrakes were a plant that grew, and from my research, mandrakes is marijuana, is weed, is pot. So one of Jacob's wife's sons, one of his sons, is out in the field. He finds some marijuana, and he brings this marijuana to his mother. And his mother's sister, who is also his aunt, who is also the wife of his father, says to her sister, who's the wife, give me this marijuana. And she said, is it a small matter that you have taken my husband, and now you want to take my weed? You want to take my weed also? And Rachel said, listen to what she said, people. This is very important. Listen to this. And Rachel said, therefore, he's going to lie with you tonight for your weed, for your marijuana. And Jacob came out of the field. He's not aware of what's going on in the evening. And so Leah has made a deal with Rachel to give her some weed for sex. So Jacob's coming out of the field, and he's met by Leah, and she tells him, you got to come and go to bed with me tonight, because I have hired you with my son's marijuana. And the Bible says, and you can fill in the lines, but there's a period there, and it says and, conjunction of connection, and he lay with her. So he went to bed with her that night. And the very next verse is startling. It startled me. It startled me when I looked at that this deal was made between these two women for sex in trade for marijuana. And the very next verse startled me. It says, and God hearkened to Leah, and she conceived. And she bore Jacob, a fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my hire because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. So Issachar is a tribe in this holy nation of God, Pastor Prince. Are you with me, Pastor Prince? Pastor Prince, am I making sense?
Oh, yeah, I read that. It's there.
So, Pastor Prince, you have Jacob, who seems to be some kind of sex machine. He's sleeping with two sisters, and then one sister gives him a maid. And he has one child by her and goes back and has another child by her. The other sister sees that. So she decides to give him her maid. He has one child by her and then goes back and has another child by the other maid. And then one of the sons is out in the field, picks up some marijuana, takes it to his mother. The other wife sees it, says, I want the marijuana. And she said, no, you can't have my marijuana. that's what mandrakes are. And Pastor Prince, they make a swap for sex, for drugs. And the startling thing about it is Jacob doesn't object. But then more startling than that, the Bible says that God hearkens to Leah and gives her a child in a deal for drugs for sex. Now, Pastor Prince, talk to me about that. Let me take a break.
Well, basically, it's showing you that a lot of things were overlooked. That was part of the word. Everything God made, he saw that was good. It had its purpose. He had his purpose for telling us to multiply, replenish the earth. And there are those who have allowed other institutions to clog up their brain cells to the extent that they go into other areas because they don't really know. People are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And we began to hang hats on people and call them no good, they rotten. But each one of those pupils, if you really look at history and look at it from its from the right perspective, all of those came out of Africa. And even the tribes came out of Africa. And whether you white, black, blue, or gray, you came out of one of those tribes. When I look at it technically, you came out of that particular section. And it irritates you. Because when you began to look at the Jew, you have a bridge to understand why you don't like certain people. But you can't hate yourself. See, when you hate a color of a picnic and a skin, you're hating yourself because it's in you. It's part of you. It's part of your culture. That's why it's so easy to understand why the Bible tells you to love one another. There is no one on the face of this earth that I dislike because I understand that I have more than one particular race connected into my DNA. I have my DNA of my grandmother. I have a DNA of my great-grandmother. And on and on and on. It's passed on through your bloodline. So I'm fully aware of those tribes and the initiation of what happened. I'm very much up to par on understanding where a lot of people don't want to know where human race came from. And it's a touchy subject because they justify what they want to justify. They record what they want to record, that they don't want to record. Don't say anything about it.
But how did they manage, Pastor Prince, to leave this passage in here where one man seems to be some kind of human sex machine that's procreating at such a propensity and such a rate and has the capacity to procreate with four different people right here in one chapter? He has four different women that he's procreating. And we know that our premise that we laid tonight is that the first instruction to man is to be fruitful and to multiply. Now, when we take this chapter and lay this chapter against our present culture, I mean biblical culture, our present New Testament culture, there is obviously a conflict that exists between what is done here in this culture and what we do now in our culture. There is a difference and a distinction between our Western culture and, of course, the culture, say, as you mentioned, in Africa, which if you had been born in Africa, say, in Ghana, where you could have multiple wives, Pastor Prince, because nature now is producing more women than it does men. Nature, somehow in the matrix, in the blueprint, the template of nature, in where decisions are made beyond our control, nature has decided that more women will be born on the planet than men.
Sure.
So in our culture, where there is one man per woman, you have a surplus or you have extra women. If you take your culture in the West and lay it against nature, your culture is in conflict with nature. Now, it is a touchy subject, and we're talking about. But nature has decided that there are more women than there are men. So now we have to decide, what is it in this culture? Where did it come from? Who did this culture? How did we get it? And then yet we have to lay beside the culture, the New Testament, which says that there is to be one man for one woman, which also contradicts nature. Now, does nature contradict the Creator? Does creation contradict the Creator? Is it ever out of harmony? Is it ever in disobedience? Is it ever nature? Is it ever going contrary to the Creator? Or does nature itself surrender its submission to the force of the Creator? In other words, is there a conflict between the Creator and creation?
You know, whatever he said, he saw that everything he said was correct and true. The conflict is that there is a people that if they had really thought about manipulation, they possibly would have left those passages out of Scripture, but would have done no good because truth is the only thing that's going to set you free, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. There's only one truth, and it ain't one God. So I have to beg, you know, I know how culture is. And I know all about it. I'm not directly involved in history as far as an individual, but I do know there's a lot of things in my DNA that is just there. You can't erase it by not liking it. I can't hate nobody for what they did in the past. I got to accept it as it is and understand that in the newness of life, God said, love one another.
Well, Pastor, can you bring some balance for me between this chapter and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he that desires the office of a bishop must be blameless and the husband of one wife. Can you balance Genesis 30? Can you bring proper tension
and reconcile. How do you reconcile? This is, how do you reconcile Genesis chapter 30? You have the same God, same standard, who changes not, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who's permitting a kind of culture as it relates to procreation in one testament, but yet gets to the New Testament, and then yet another culture is imposed that conflicts with nature.
Something is not sweet.
Something is not lining up, Pastor Prince, I'm trying to.
I know. It's something.
Trying to get you to tell me what is not lining up.
Well, basically, you got to remember, there are a great amount of theologians that think that they know everything because they are critics of their own mistake. When they went back and, you know, they did their study, they saw where they left some things, but they said, put it in the book. They're not going to read that, no way. But I've been aware of the contradictions, the movement of the system who has tried to play God. And unfortunately, they have bloodstains on their hands and they don't know it. They're going to suffer for that because they teach others.
When you say, Pastor, and you're hitting some major notes here, but for the sake of clarity, and so we can be as simple and as clear as we can, when you say play God, to me, that you are making a major statement. How then, Pastor, do you suppose there are those who are playing God? What does that look like? Give us some, put it down at the kindergarten level so that we can understand, we can leave this room and know exactly what you mean when you say there are those who are playing God.
Well, basically, ever since they tried their best to, I think most of you on this line know that there's always been competition. They decided when they wanted to build the Tower to Babel, they were going to go to heaven, and that thing fell down on them. And they decided, said, well, look, ain't no way for us to go up there. Ain't going to let us climb up there. We had tried that. So let's go back down here, and let's procreate our own image down here. They are trying their best to get out under the image of God. That's why you see critics. That's why you see people trying to stagnate the growth of humanity. That's why you see sections of people who are supposed to be the head and not the tail are playing the role of the tail and not the head. That's why you see so much friction of hypocrisy that existed among the cultures of our land, because if you really look at it, if you go to the book of Isaiah, I think it's 4:1, it tells you that there are 7 women for every man. Now, Isaiah wrote that before Christ ever came on the face of the earth. Now, if you're going to alleviate that, how can you, being a new culture, tell the truth to the people, and you're not dealing with that? And you'll set up a standard. So it makes me wonder, why is it, if God said that everything he made was good, I hate to say this, but it's a question mark. Well, who decided that we needed a New Testament? Go back and do your own study. Come up with your own notes of history. Go back in the first and second and eighth century. Take a glimpse of history. We don't like history, but history is real. History is unraveling and stuff now. So I wouldn't want to go any further into the details of it, but I like people to do their own checking before I condemn something. Now, I had to go along with what you're saying here because all of this is scripture. And I firmly believe in one God, and I think that we should not have no other God before us. And I believe in God's permissive program that he set and designed for us to live by. He did it once. I don't think he just had no refreshment courses along the way. but it makes me wonder sometimes, like that scripture in Psalm, how in the world did Shakespeare get in the Bible?
That's in the 46th number of Psalms. Of Pastor, before you go to that, now you're making an indictment that somebody has tampered with this book.
Somebody's been tampering.
It's what you're saying so that the audience will understand what he's just saying. And I just want to push rewind just for a moment because Pastor is throwing out some heavy truths here. And he's going to give you the whole picture. So let's try to take it in a compartmental kind of way. And this is not an easy subject that we're dealing with. This is a touchy subject. It's touchy racially. It's touchy culturally. It's touchy not only for the races, but it's also touchy for the genders, for male and female, because now we're talking about a new paradigm, a new belief system. We're talking about something being tampered with, maybe perhaps, because we see an inconsistency in practice, in social practice, in one area of procreation from a God who does not change, who says it's permissible in one context, and he just stated a very powerful scripture in Isaiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, where it says, in that day, which is a reference to a futuristic time of the kingdom, seven women would take a hold of one man. What brings about, now we have to choose our language and our words correctly here, what would bring about a necessity for seven women to be of the mindset and of the beliefs to embrace, especially in the West, in the Western culture, seven women to one man? What necessitates that? What would happen? Could it be the forces that are at work that are destroying a certain population? Because as we read this Bible, a certain group of people in this Bible is given a tremendous propensity, given a tremendous capacity, given a tremendous ability of procreation to the tune that their capacity is equated with the multiplicity of the stars of heaven. There's an innate burning desire, energy, force at work in a particular group of people that they have the capability. They have the propensity. This is something that is innate within them at work, given to them. So I question, let me hurry to drop this while it's in my mind to say this, and I don't mean to be offensive to anybody racial. I don't mean to offend anybody gender. I don't mean to offend anyone's culture. But the black male in the Western culture has been classified as a dysfunctional sexual deviant, that he cannot contain nor control his sexual appetite. And when I watch this play out, you use a very critical word, Pastor Prince, he's forced to play the role of a hypocrite in a culture that does not support his propensity and his power. This black male that has been classified, let me say that again, he has been forced to play the role of a hypocrite because of a capacity that he has. And in this instance of procreation, he has been classified dysfunctionally a sexual deviant who cannot contain nor restrain his procreative ability. But yet, when I read in this Bible, there is a particular group in this Bible whose procreative capacity is equated with the sand upon the seashore, which means that they have some kind of energy or power within them that must find some kind of expression in society. And then that society, Pastor Prince, that society must have a structure to support this power for which
they have been endowed with. But yet I see a system that's desperately trying to contain, on one hand, this power, but yet exploit it on the other hand by making money from that which they know cannot be contained. How is that propensity exploited? It is exploited because the system that wants to contain it and control it for their various reasons have a tendency to make money off of it in several ways, through pornography, through, believe it or not, child support, where this black male who has been classified as a dysfunctional sexual deviant is denied equal participation in the workforce, but yet he has this propensity to procreate and he's making babies, but he's penalized for making babies, and then he's incarcerated so the legal system catches him. And then he's a target scientifically with a report that just came out where the Carnegie Institute Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation paid one of the leading health care providers in this country millions of dollars to inject into people of color sexually transmitted diseases. Now, let me say that again. The Carnegie Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation paid millions of dollars to Johns Hopkins health care providers to run experiments on people of color by injecting sexually transmitted diseases into the black male, just like they did in Tuskegee from 1932 to 1972. A 40-year study. This man's ability to procreate has been targeted by chemical, biological, medical castration. He has been targeted. He's been targeted religiously by a religious culture that I just read a moment ago out of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, where a bishop is to have one wife, but yet in Genesis chapter 30, we see this one guy who's a sex machine who is procreating, and then we read the injunctions in Genesis 22 where God tells Abraham that his seed, now listen to this carefully. Listen, this is a wealth creation. I want to bring this home. He says, now your seed shall be as the stars of heaven and as the sand upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of your enemy. Now, if you go to Psalms 127 and verses 3 through 5, you're going to see the same principle being stated again, Dr. Prince. And I want you to listen to it carefully, because I think Mr. Sylvester Brooks is on the line with us, but I want him to hear this because he has taught me so many things in way of consciousness and has such an articulate, oratorical eloquence about stating certain things that I want him to speak to this. But Psalms 127, listen to this. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now listen to this. Listen. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Listen, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate.